I also would like to welcome you in a very special way. We hope that also those who are here today for the first time, that they feel good, that they feel at home, and that they receive God's blessing. We have sung already wonderful songs, and we read a wonderful psalm word together. May it be so in these gatherings that we are in the matter, really, that we are not asleep, to have a new experience with God, so that we can say in the end, it was good to be here, that the blessing could flow in abundance. In the song we have sung, I need thee, beloved Lord, I need thy holy power. Brother Rus asked the counter question, who doesn't need him? Who does not need him? Every person who wants to be saved needs him who alone can save. And that's all of us. Everyone who wants to receive forgiveness must have him through whom we received forgiveness. Everyone who wants to have healing needs him who brought us healing. In him we have, in the true sense of the word, all in all. And may he, in these days, really give us everything. In the hymn that we sang first, it says, whether clouds pile up around me and I feel lonely, I'm longing to be free without troubles and sorrows. The hymn writer spoke fully out from my heart. But I don't want to experience this day in heaven. I want to experience it already here on earth. And it will probably be when we have learned it, to cast our cares upon him who cares for us. According to the scripture, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This I must learn, and probably also some amongst us. For some, it's easy. Then it says here, in the second stanza, even I stand here under the cross every day on this earth, and when others break roses, and I see nothing but thorns myself. Important is that we are crowned at the end. Our Lord wore the crown of thorns, and we shall wear the crown of life. There are hardly words to express what moves me, and I think most of us, when we think about the indescribable grace that was given to us, so many years of the word proclamation, of the spiritual growth, and everything what goes with it, for this we are grateful to God. And I say, as many times, the best is yet to come. It cannot be otherwise. The best is yet to come. I have listened to a wonderful tape, a sermon of Brother Branham, and this I want to translate to all of you, really, with all my heart. There are still questions. Am I born again? Am I spirit baptized? Did I have an experience with God? Among the people, there are many questions. And whoever has a question, he has no clarity yet. And he who has no clarity, there it is questionable whether the experience is really there. For he who experienced God would not ask whether he experienced him. And we are simply here to help one another, to serve. And the sermons of Brother Branham are best suited for this, to tell us the truth without any compromise. He was a straightforward man, and most important, he spoke out of experience, from first-hand experience, not only with himself, but throughout many years. He could watch the difference between claims and reality, and we want that our testimony agrees with the Word, and also that we agree with the Word, so that we step by step can follow the Lord. Briefly, emphasizing 4 verses from Psalms 25, no one that waiteth on thee will be ashamed. Is this right? It must be right, because it's written in the Word. If you or I were put to shame, then we have, in this connection, not put our trust in God. If we put our trust in every situation, at all times, in God, then we cannot be put to shame. He cannot disappoint us. It says here in the second part, let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Maybe it even applies that people come into a meeting and maybe say later on, I was a little disappointed though. No one will be disappointed in a meeting if he has put his trust in God. When this psalm was read, I was already blessed. I could have gone home already. Why? Because we are inwardly in the matter. We eat the Word. We absorb it. We have become a part of the Word. The 2 sisters who briefly gave a testimony in the office today, and they said how great the Word of God became to them. I could only say, the Word becomes flesh. It becomes reality. It becomes our very personal spiritual life. The Word lives itself out through us. It continues, show me thy ways, O Lord. Oh, what would I wish more than that? Then the lady who is visiting from Holland for the first time, and who I met at the meeting in London, I told her today, I wish to do the will of God. And she looks over the table and said, but this you did until now. Did you get it? Probably I was not clear enough. There comes no feedback from you. It is really sometimes like that, that people who do already the will of God, they yearn to do it and to do it even more. And others don't care about it and walk their own ways. Oh yes, this word or this sentence really struck me. At the same time, when we yearn to do the will of God, we are already found in the will of God. What did our Lord say back then, when Mary lied? Oh, what did I say now? Did Mary really lie? You shake your head from the left to right. In India, this would mean yes. With us, it means no. You can read it in the Gospel of Luke. There Mary said to our Lord, when he, at the age of 12, was left behind in Jerusalem, your father and I were looking for you. What did she say by this? She attributed our Lord to Joseph. And what did the Lord do? He corrected her on the spot. And he said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? On the spot, he corrected her. This is our Lord. He corrects on the spot. We have sometimes a hard time to express ourselves, and it may come out clumsy, but he corrects on the spot. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. If it is about the way of God, about God's business, then we may testify freely, he has given us light. We don't belong to them who walk around in the dark, but by grace a bright light shines unto us. This we may testify freely. We may walk in truth on the way of salvation, as written here. And here in the next verse, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. It was him who could say, I am the way, the truth and life. Even today, we show to the people the same way. There's only one way. Jesus is this way. Anyone who wants to get in otherwise will not succeed. Then it says here in verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. May God give me and to all of us the fear of God and show the way that we shall choose. And then verse 15, also very precious. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Blessed be his name. He is strong enough. It was on my heart to write at the beginning of these meetings to, I want to say, the slogan, the subject, to put the slogan, we would like to see Jesus. May this sound throughout these days and be experienced by us. We would like to see Jesus. We want to experience him. We want to feel his presence. We want that he speaks with us, that he works in our midst. To prepare this, I would like to read us the word from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Actually, one should read from verse 11, but you all know the context, that the Lord gave himself as a sacrifice. And then it says in verse 18, maybe even one should read before that. One has to read from verse 16 for the context's sake. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. To this we can all say, Amen. From verse 19 it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is the new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In this psalm we read, him the Lord shows the way. Here this way is shown to us. The access is by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we believe with all our heart that the way is prepared. The veil in the temple was torn. Forgiveness, grace and salvation was given to all who believe it with all their heart. He who does not believe, he will die in his sin. But he who believes was taken out already from his sin, because our guilt and chastisement was laid on him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. We will not be healed, we were healed. Let us believe it today, wholeheartedly, and then we can be happy. Only in this way we can be happy in the Lord, when we believe biblically and know that the past is dealt with and that God has given us full salvation, total forgiveness, and that he justified us through and through. I think Brother Amman looks here right now. This was a question last Sunday in Zurich. A precious sister of older age, she said, Brother Frank, here I have a sermon of Brother Branham. And he says, a woman, she could be forgiven and so forth if she has done this and that, but she can never be justified. You all know this sermon, if you read it carefully. And we see, as with the Lord, in his sermons, various people were addressed, the elect, the called ones, unbelievers, many were addressed. One thing we must remember once and for all, he who was chosen by God before the foundation of the world, nothing was imputed unto him to begin with. Because Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, was chosen already before the foundation of the world to step for us into the breach and to pay the price and to make the damage well. Let us always pay attention to who this might be addressed to, and let us not let the joy in the Lord be taken away from us. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You all know, and this I heard again in Africa, in well-known denominations, the hymns are taken out which sing about the blood. They want to have a non-offensive singing, a singing in which Hindus can sing undisturbed, in which Muslims can sing undisturbed. All should sing undisturbed. When God does something, first there is a disturbance. Then there is a short circuit. Then people are called to come to their senses. And the way of salvation is shown to them today as it was shown almost 2,000 years ago. There is no other way and no other salvation and also no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. As certain, our Redeemer, as the Lamb of God, died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, so certain he entered with his own blood into the Holy of Holies. And here someone may ask, when was that? You just need to read the Gospel of John very slowly, namely chapter 20, and then you have it. Early in the morning, the Master said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father." And later he said, "Lay your hand into my side and see that it is me." Yes? All right. More we don't need to say. We read on here. "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised." Amen. He is and remains faithful forever. He has given the promise, and he took care for that it was fulfilled. Here it says in verse 20, "This is the new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He who received life from God will walk on this new and living way and remain on it. Everything else, our own ways, with own works, own statutes, own dogmas, own doings, that cannot stand its ground before God. Only what comes from him can stand its ground before God, because only what comes from him draws us again back to him. What doesn't come from him draws us away from him. We don't need a replacement. We need God and that what he has given us in Christ." But it goes on here, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." I don't belong to those who make themselves a hobby out of it, to make remarks, especially not from the pulpit. But one of the brothers told me, or told us, who we were together a few minutes ago, "It would be better if people had all come to listen and not to speak." There are really still people who have so much to say to others, who even make no pause while speaking, instead to come and to hear the word. I give you here a practical advice. He who has come to hear the word, may he in the meantime take himself the right to use his personal leisure time as it pleases him, like any citizen of any country can do. It really doesn't make sense to mix the wisdom of those who are self-opinionated with God's content. Let us take it seriously and belong to those who have just come with one desire: to see Jesus, to hear him, to experience him. He who has come to speak, or even to collect addresses, as it happens all the time, we should send him to the market fair. There are many people, with them he could talk, and collect their addresses and look then after them. As a subject or as a subtopic, I have something else on my heart: to make the comparison between the term "the time is at hand" and the fact that the time for a certain thing has come. You all know the Holy Scripture. One doesn't need to read every scripture. God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah. The swallow and every bird knows its time, but my people don't know their time. There are many scriptures, of which we'll read some. Let us begin with Revelation chapter 1 and see how there were times in which the time was near and times when it was fulfilled. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The word or the term "the time is at hand" you can find everywhere, maybe in a slightly modified form: the time has come near, or the time is near. But suddenly, it was not only at hand, suddenly the time has come. Events of significance in the plan of salvation were announced. The time came nearer and nearer, but suddenly the time was fulfilled. Suddenly, it was not only at hand, it was come. And we have, many years ago, I wrote the brochure with the title "The Time is at Hand." If I would write it in the year 88 or some other, I could use the title "The Time Has Come." I don't know whether you see and feel this progress, and I believe this I may say: today we are closer than ever to all the things that are still to come. Right? Things are already advanced in development. What was still far away 20 years ago was at hand 10 years ago. It could be here any moment. We must and can and may, from now on, expect really everything. We don't have to draw up a timetable here that God should follow. But we have to watch the signs of the time and observe the progress and the development of the things. And I believe this most believers do, that they are vigilant. Here it says, "For the time is at hand." He wrote about the church messages and so forth. Suddenly, the time was come. Here the announcement, then the progress, the development, and the time came whenever God wanted it. I have to read another word from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. And we do it today for an introduction in such a way to memorize this thought deeply between the difference "the time is at hand" or "the time has come." When you read in the Gospel of Matthew and maybe in the brochure that I wrote recently, time and again we find scriptures that it might be fulfilled what is written in the prophet. It were promises, announcements. They have been a long time coming, for many hundreds of years. Suddenly, the time was come. The prophet Isaiah prophesied in chapter 40, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. The time came nearer and nearer. Suddenly it was come. Suddenly was fulfilled what God has said in His Word. And we expect from now on everything. I say once again, I don't know the details or their sequence, but one thing I know, everything what the mouth of the Lord has spoken, this will be fulfilled literally. Not one word of God will fall to the ground. The scripture cannot be broken. What God said is yes and amen. And no one should think here, but the devil is also here. The devil interests me very little. God is the Almighty, and what He does not allow the devil to do, the devil cannot do. Let's forget the devil with everything he does, and let's think of God and what He does, and then we will be helped. In Matthew chapter 3 it says, from verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To me it's about the comparison between at hand and then it has come. On the day of Pentecost, it was not only at hand. On Pentecost, it has fully come, it broke through. The kingdom of God, the church of God was established, put together by the Holy Spirit. The things have come near, suddenly they were there and were fulfilled. It continues here in Matthew 3:3, for this is he, John, who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His paths straight. You all know the story of John, his sermons. He actually said to all what they were entitled to. And you know, to him came various groups. The military came and asked him what should be done as a soldier. Did you read it? Did you read it? Not all, not. Doesn't matter. But I just read it to you quickly from Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Here it says in verse 2, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. This I like. The word of God, the commission of God, the command was given to him. The time and hour were appointed by God. And it says here so nicely, at that time, when Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came unto John. He had to wait a long time. How long did he have to wait? Who knows it? When did he come on the scene? How old was he when he came on the scene? Pardon? Yes, this could be. In any case, he had to wait a long time. And to wait is difficult. Especially then, if one knows that God has called and commissioned and still has to wait until the direct command comes, now, now. In that moment, the time was not at hand. In that moment, it has come. And when it had come, God acted. When the time had come, the message went forth and the people went out to hear him and to be baptized by him. He preached a strong sermon, and yet the people listened. And here I think on our beloved brother Branham, how hard he was sometimes. And sisters, you endured all this. You have given up the inner resistance and you humbled yourself under the word, and therefore God could bless you. The secret while hearing the word is therein to agree inwardly to what the word says and to what is preached by God's commission. Back then, the multitude said, "We have Abraham as our father." Yes, we have Abraham as our father. You all know the scripture. The Lord said that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now listen to verse 10. And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered unto them, "He that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none, and he that has meat, let him do likewise." That means to share. And now it comes. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Collect no more than you are required to." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." It was almost a political speech. If you would say to the people today, "Be content with your wages," then they would say, "For what are we in the labor union?" But let us leave this aside. Here, we really see that the people asked. They wanted to correct things that are not right before God. These were not Pharisees. They were already dealt with. Because they didn't come to ask, "What shall we do?" They said to themselves, "We have Abraham as our father, and who are you?" But the people came and asked, "What is right before God?" But I'm going to write a book soon. These are just thoughts which touch me. One day I will pick a quarrel. I will not leave this earth until then. I will have to be like Samson, grabbing the pillars. One pillar here and one pillar there. Two pillars I must grab before I go from here. And then the building shall collapse. No, there are people who are destined for it, to say what others cannot say. Firstly, they don't know it and don't know the meaning. And on the other hand, they probably don't know it at all. Let us come back to our subject. Let us go on in the Holy Scripture. Once again, Luke chapter 3, verse 2. At the time of Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And then he came into all the country. The thought that moves me is, the time is at hand, and the time has come. For all the things we are waiting for, they have come near, and suddenly they will be here. The word will be fulfilled until the last tittle. We don't wait in vain. We are no fools. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we followed the unmistakable proclamation of the word of God that is yes and amen forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. In Matthew 4, verse 17, we read the following. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Often I have a hard time to find the pages because I read the German and English Bible. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We mentioned it already and will mention it more often during these days. It had come near. Suddenly, it was here. You can read in Acts chapter 2. But when the day was fully come, I read it so that we have it. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, not only has come near, but was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. Events were announced. They drew nearer and nearer. Suddenly, they were there. Suddenly, they came to pass. It is the same in our days. Let us imagine with the ministry of Brother Branham that was, who knows when, was announced in the prophet Malachi. The time drew near. Suddenly, it was there. Now was the build-up, the giving out of the spiritual food. And we know that the rest is yet to come. In Luke 9, I meant Mark 1, verse 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. It says, I read also verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Here I want to stop for a moment. The talk should not only be about believing, but of the believing according to the scripture, of the belief as the scripture says. For thus it is written in the Gospel of John, in chapter 7, from verse 36 to 38, he that believeth on me, said our Lord, as the scripture has said, not only he that believeth. I told it to you before. The people believe on Jesus. The whole world believes. The Muslims believe that he was virgin born. They believe that he is the son of Mary. They believe that he is one of the five greatest prophets. They believe that he will return before God will set up his kingdom. But that kind of faith does not profit them anything. Why not? Because they only believe in him as a historical person, that he existed, but they don't know who he was and for what reason he came. Such a faith is totally useless, and I will never forget it. When I testified to Mrs. von Stein in the city of Bad Tölz, I testified of the Lord, and I said, you need Jesus Christ. I told you before what she said to me. Yes, I have just sold my Jesus, she said. And I was almost scared to death. I surely turned white, but I didn't look into the mirror. And I said, listen, what do you mean? I have sold my Jesus. And she said, I bought him in Czechoslovakia. He was 1.2 meters tall. And I had him for so long in my house, and I have sold him to the church, and now he stands in that certain place. This is not my Jesus. This might have been her Jesus, but not mine. Mine also does not hang on a cross made by human hands, neither made of wood nor of gold. My Jesus is Emmanuel, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, who redeemed us. Amen. Whoever says today, yes, I believe in Jesus, you can ask directly, in which Jesus? So far we have come, yes? Brother Rus, you shook your head. So far we have come. One has to ask today, on which Jesus? And also this, I told you before, when the man from the Vatican, and about this the people are laughing everywhere, in all the world, whether there are tens of thousands or more, doesn't matter. I say to the people, in every speech, because I know it's the first and the last time, then I don't leave out two things. I tell them who Jesus Christ is, and I tell them who the Antichrist is. These are two things, and I don't leave them out. That seems to have been given to me by God. And the brothers who sometimes accompany me in the same country, and who hear then the same thing in another city, they start to smile already. And the one asked me, after all the meetings, he says, Brother Frank, how does it actually come that you not only preach Christ, about this we are glad, but that you also grab the man from the Vatican at his feet over and again? And I said, this is just necessary. These are the two antithetical states. In the one God revealed himself, and in the other Satan is made known. And I say, the people don't know the difference, and therefore I must tell them. And then I said, or would you tell them? And he said, no, not me. Yes, here we have it, not me. And one has to say it. And because I have nothing to lose, therefore I can say this boldly. And especially since it is true and necessary, it must be said. But I told it to you before, when he in Bombay sprinkled the people with water, and when he said Christ is in every religion, when 750 million Hindus hear such a thing, Christ is in every religion, then they will soon also be talking about Christ. But this is then the Christ of the Pope, not the Christ of God, not my and your Lord and Savior. You all know, it just comes to my mind when Brother Branham was in Switzerland and in Germany. You all know the story, when he should watch the table turning, and the Lord spoke to him, go there, I will show you what is being done in the formula in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And he watched it, and the medium said, the Spirit confesses to be of God. And he says, this is not my Lord, this is not my Savior who is at work here. You all know the story. Who does not speak today of Christ? Who does not use the formula in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost? I think here now on that man who belongs to the full gospel businessman. And he said to me, this I must tell you, how I joined the Freemason Lodge. He said, very strange. I am of Jewish origin. And nevertheless, I had to say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, I still don't understand that today, me also not. People don't know what they do. They are spiritually blinded, and I tell you with what. The devil can best mislead people with partial truths of the word. 100%. There is no greater lie than the one that has 99% truth in it, and the rest is added, and then everything is upside down. What we need is the pure truth. We need an absolute, a proclamation that is unmixed and can be brought to the people of God. We have a right on pure food, not a salmagundi in which is death. What the sons of the prophet have collected here and there and cooked in a hot pot, but the bread of life, the word of our God, so fresh as it came from the throne, so fresh it shall be proclaimed. Now still one or two scriptures, one from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, here it is written in verse 17, but when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. You know the story. To me, it's only about the nearer the time of the promise came, the time of the fulfillment of the promise. Also now, we most certainly have to go through phases to give out the food, the calling out, the spreading of the message of God into all the world. But then, right at the end, the sealing must take place. From the first to the last, we must have from God the confirmation, the certainty that He has given us His seal. We are His, even the right for the translation of our mortal body is of course therein that God gives us the quickening power of the Spirit by grace. We will speak about these things later. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, beloved, I don't believe that it's just my impression. I really believe that the time of God is very near. To not say by faith that it's here. By faith, one could almost say it. The time is not only at hand, it is very near. The time is dawning. It breaks forth. It breaks forth. As back then, the law and the prophets were until John. From that time on, the gospel was preached. The kingdom of God was preached. Now we have a similar situation. Denominations had their time over centuries, but there was a moment of a divine commission and sending with a divine commission for the end time. And because we know of it, therefore we also know that the time for the last and final things must have come near. And one of it I read to you. You all know Brother Branham spoke of the Carmel hour. And there is, in 1 Kings, in chapter 18, this wonderful verse, 36. 1 Kings 18, verse 36. When the time was come. Amen. When the time was come for the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and prayed. When the time had come, he didn't need three attempts and said, I will see whether the time is here. I will just try. Maybe it will work. He used the meantime to tell to the others, pray strongly, call upon your God. Maybe he sleeps. Maybe he's on a journey, and so forth. Yell louder. Maybe he will answer you. He knew exactly where he was at. He knew in whom he believes. For the word of the Lord came to him. I read you also this. He even refers to it. 1 Kings 18, verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. You can all read on, you know what it's all about here. Here was a Carmel hour, an intervention of God here on this earth, a divine decision from heaven, so that nobody needs to ask anymore what is right or wrong, where is the truth and where not. God himself gave testimony. Brother Branham was longing for this Carmel hour. He spoke of the countdown and so forth. But I believe that this showdown comes, and I believe that God will come forth as the victor, as the Almighty, as the Most High. He will come forth, and he will fight on the side of his people. He will fight for us. Today we stand up for him, then he will stand up for us. The hour is at hand. It says, when the time was come, I wished the moment would be today, that I could say, the hour on which we were waiting for has come. On that day, I will have no longer a long face. On that day, joy and jubilation will fill the heart of the believers, of them who trusted God, who went through everything. I, of course, know how it is. The whole world celebrates, and the people of God must go through despisement and misjudgment and what kind of slander is going on. But when the hour comes, the hour of God, then we, I say it how it is, then we will laugh. Today we weep and suffer, but then we will be the ones who will rejoice about that what God does. One day our Lord said, my hour or my time has not yet come. Your time is always. Let us keep in mind, the things of God have all their time, all have their hour. First they were announced, then they come nearer and nearer. As John said back then, the time is at hand. Of the people of Israel it said, when the time of the promise had come near. And what happened when it had come? God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Then the time was there. Then it was not only near, then it had come. And when it had come, God acted. God manifested himself and led his people out. But remember, there were people who had the promise. And only on that people who had the promise, on them it was also fulfilled. Not on all the surrounding nations, on one people which God had chosen via Abraham, Isaac and Jacob for his own inheritance. Perhaps for information, because some say, the people of Israel are chosen and the others look a bit into the dark. No, it's not like this. Look, it's like this. God took a people, and from this people he took again individuals. He has chosen individuals as prophets to speak through them and to thus put on record his plan of salvation here on earth, so that we today have an insight, an overall view of that what God wants, what he planned. God doesn't need many. God needs only one people, only one man. And then it went on and on. But the word is for all. Here I can read you Psalms 2, verse 6 and 7. I can read to you Isaiah 49, verse 6. I can read you Matthew 28, from verse 19 to 20. There it is written of the heathen that he should become salvation for the nations unto the ends of the earth. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Hosea, those who were not my people shall be called sons of the living God. Who were not looking for me, I let myself be found by them. There were enough scriptures which were already pointing to it, that the grace and salvation will also be here for the nations. Only God used one people, and within this people he time and again had mouthpieces to announce his plan of salvation, which he has with all of mankind. Is this right? And we have part in it by his grace. This thought my brother James expressed so clearly in the council at Jerusalem, and this one actually has to read now. And with it I come to a close today. Acts chapter 15 from verse 13. Here it is written. And after they had held their peace, maybe I should read verse 12 also, pardon me. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon has declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Do you see how wonderful these men of God have set forth from the Old Testament? What was still prophecy for the prophets? It was near now. It was there. Here it could be set forth after the apostles reported of that, what happened among the Gentiles. And Peter and James and some others, they had a hard time. Oh, sorry, not James. He spoke. Others had trouble. The men of God not. So nice. That men of God and people of God have not a hard time with the Word of God, because to them it is revealed by the Holy Spirit. But do you see the connection? He comes to the Word. I don't know whether we appreciate this enough, that God has given us this absolute direct connection to the Word. That is the most wonderful thing that God has given us besides salvation. That God has given us this direct connection, let me call it hotline. God has given us this hotline to his Word, which came from the throne. James went to the Word and said, Brethren, listen to me. Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and after this he will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. What a grace! What a blessing! We could still go to many scriptures and read them. God's Word agrees. Old and New Testament make up one unit in divine harmony, breathed in by the Holy Spirit, inspired and dictated. The time was at hand. How near is it today? Watchmen of the night, how late is it? Watchmen of the night, how late is it? That's how we read it in the prophet Isaiah. The answer is, the morning comes, and also the night. If you want to know more, come again and ask. We want to know more. We come again and we ask the Lord and say, O God, Speak to us. Let us see the things so clear. But I have the impression that after God has revealed unto us His Word and His plan of salvation altogether in such a wonderful way, that He wants to come with us now personally to the point that we become usable tools and vessels in His hand, which He can bless, which He can use. Remember, the time of the things is near at hand. It is come. The time is here. The time in which God begins to act. And the time that we make ourselves available for Him. The time is here. Not only at hand. The time is here. How long God will still have time is His business. He is from eternity to eternity. But I want to know it from you. 22 years ago, when Brother Branham was called home, the time was already at hand. Over and again we heard it in the sermons. It could be the last day, the last meeting. How often did we hear it? The coming of the Lord is near. How often did we hear it? Already then, the Lord said it, "Behold, I come soon." It's written in Revelation a couple of times. "Behold, I come soon," or "the time is at hand." But now it has just come upon us. The time that God acts is here. The time that we make ourselves available for Him is here. The time that He can confirm His Word is here. We can no longer watch and judge when things are somewhere happening and say, these are wrong in the doctrine anyway. If we are doctrinally right, then God will confirm His Word. But we have to count with it. We have to expect it. And we just expect it in these meetings. They shall not end without that people testify to have been saved, delivered, and healed. And I tell you the secret. If you still believe that the time is at hand, then it's not here, it's only at hand. If somebody is near, he looks at the sign, and there it says Krefeld, 14 kilometers, then it's near. But he is not here yet, only near. When he is here, then there is no sign anymore. Then he arrived. If you want to experience God, if I want to experience God, then it's not enough to just believe that the time is at hand, or that He is near. Then we must believe that He is present, as He promised. Where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in their midst. We would like to see Jesus. He said, I'm here. If you gather in My name, then I'm there. Then I am in your midst. Do we believe it? And if we believe it with all our heart, that He is in our midst, then we can believe that healings, salvation, and everything whatever happened, also today, by grace, it can happen for the glory of God. Amen? This must sound louder. I have made up my mind to no more preach in a mighty way, because I can't do that anymore. But I want the Word to have a powerful effect. And the Word does not return void. It accomplishes for what God has sent it for. Once again, there are times when the things are near. Suddenly, the moment has come where it happens. Let us believe that the time has come. The time of the glorification of Jesus Christ, His name, His word, His power, in the midst of His church, is here. Not only near, it is here, because according to His promise, He is present. And it is written, when it was said, glorify thy name, the answer was, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Let us count with it, that He will do it, and then it shall take place. If you think it's still kind of little far away, then nothing will happen. Let us from now on believe that the Lord is present in the gatherings of the saints. Let us by faith come to the Holy of Holies, to where He went with His holy blood, to offer it upon the mercy seat, so that we have a free access. The heaven is open, the way is free, atonement was given to us. We have full salvation, full pardoning, justification and sanctification through Calvary. Let us receive it by faith, not only believing it's near, believe that it's here for you and for me. Today, you can have it. Receive it, and God will bless you. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank you for your precious and holy word. I thank you for the many examples which we find therein. You announced things, then they came nearer and nearer. Promises you have given by the mouth of the prophets, you have spoken, and suddenly you fulfilled what your holy mouth has spoken, namely when the time was fulfilled. Beloved Lord, we live in a very special time. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. As we have sung, we need thee more and more in the full power of your resurrection. Equip thy people with the power of God, with the power of the Spirit, with the resurrection power, with the power of love, of faith, of courage, of power. Lord, we ask you with all our heart that you remind us that the time is not only at hand, but that it's here. Lord, from now on, we are preparing us inwardly that the time has come, that your hour is here, in which you confirm thy word among thy people. And Lord, I ask you from the bottom of my soul, let me not be an obstacle. Then take me out of the way before I would stand in your way and in the way of your people. Show me the way on which I shall walk, the decision that I shall make. I ask you for it, for your holy name's sake, for thy people's sake, that has a right to experience the manifestation of your power. Lord, we are here. We are people and depend on you. But we believe and trust you. You have opened our eyes. The time is here for you to act, for us to be available for you. Beloved Lord, once again I ask you, with all the brothers and sisters together, have thine own way with your people. Do on us as you promised. Fulfill thy word. Let it be made known that you are the Lord, and that all the enemies were made your footstool. You are the victor of Calvary. You have conquered the power of Satan fully. You have conquered hell, and you pulled the sting of death, and you rose on the third day. You live, and we with you. Bless your people. Give us boldness. Give us confidence and faith toward you, and help us to expect that you manifest yourself. Lord, together we would be happy when the beginning would be made already in these days. Lord, we commit thy work to you. You will finish it in a majestic way. We are the work of God, the doings of God. We thank you for it. Take away all sadness. Heal all wounds. My God, give us an answer, who we ask you, and be merciful to each one, that no one comes short. Save the lost. Heal the sick. Deliver the possessed. Confirm thy word. To you, the living God, be the praise and glory. Lord, we believe that the time is not only at hand. Lord, it is here. It is just here. We ask you now, give us grace to be in expectation in your presence. Yes, lift up thy countenance upon us and give us thy peace. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the name that you revealed unto us, this holy name of Jesus. Let it be in operation in divine power and be manifest, that we believe on you as the scripture has said. Faithful God, your kingdom come. Lord, back then we should pray that it may come. On the day of Pentecost, it was opened and began. Beloved Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Once again I ask you, let me be found in your perfect will, not only in the permissive, but in the perfect will of God. Bless with us all your worshipping people in all places, all over the world. Tear down the walls and open iron gates. For where you open, no one can shut. Lord, we thank you with all our hearts for it, that we may have part in that what you are doing now. You have spoken with us, and therefore we expect that you fulfill what you promised. To you, the Almighty God, be praise and honor, glory and worship forever. Amen.